Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Roger Suzanne in Channel 3 is, where are you? You're handling the school safety or more security?
Exactly.
Are you in Hamden?
This morning, I'm outside Hamden High School where they're doing some of these safety improvements that you were talking about. And yes, one of the big things that parents are talking about is they're adding metal detectors, which is going certainly to kind of change the vibe at the school when kids arrive, right? Kids are going to be now walking through metal detectors every day once they arrive in about 3 weeks or so. And in the meantime, they're actually borrowing the metal detector wands from the Hamden Police Department and training staff members to use the wand while they wait for the walkthrough.
It's unbelievable.
Yes,
the wand.
They got to do something.
It is. I feel something. Yeah.
You know what, Roger? You have children. Mm-hmm. Start saving for private school.
I'm starting now. Yeah. I don't even have kids. No,
he's going to homeschool himself. He'd make a great teacher.
But guys, I really don't know where this ends because these online threats and look, there's some stuff that wasn't just online threats happening at Hamden, right? There was stabbing right outside the school,
yeah.
And there also was a kid was arrested for having a loaded gun. But in a lot of these schools, yesterday in New Haven, where our other reporter, Anna Galella, is, 8 different schools in New Haven had to go in lockdown mode because of online threats. And that is like playing whack-a-mole. I mean, and again, I don't blame police. They have to react to all of these because you have to treat all of these threats seriously because you don't know which one could actually be true. But it is definitely a crazy world that we're living in. And definitely police officers and school district staff, I mean, they have a really difficult job. They did make an arrest in one of those New Haven cases, a 17-year-old girl. They're charging her with basically lying. She said, according to police, that she saw a man, or a person, I should say, walking towards Wilbercross High School with a gun. So obviously, you know, police have to react seriously to that.
Oh, so that's what happened. So allegedly, she made it up.
That's exactly right.
Okay. What happens to you when you do that?
So she faces multiple charges. I know one is breach of peace. And, you know, yesterday I was talking with New Haven's police chief, Renee Dominguez, and she was saying that if this is found out to be a hoax, we are basically going to throw everything we can at this person. She said there will be an arrest made, and we're going to charge them with everything we can because, you know, look at this mess that this person created. Because yesterday at Wilbercross High School, I mean, the entire school was shut down. Police were there all over the place, wasting a lot of manpower. They were searching, you know, classroom to classroom. And these kids were terrified. And the parents, too. I mean, parents started showing up. You can't blame them.
Yeah.
And they're all worried.
The problem, the problem isn't with the police and charging. The problem is they get to court. And they're like, yeah, you know what? Your life's screwed up anyway. Why would we want to make it more screwed up? Go ahead. Go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially with juveniles, right? Because I don't know if this girl will end up being charged as an adult, but she is a juvenile. She's 17. So if she's not charged as an adult, you know, obviously the penalties are different. So that's going to be a problem. But also, I don't even know that if it's a charge. I think these kids, they're online. It's in some of these cases, I know this girl actually phoned this threat in, apparently. But most of these threats are coming on Instagram and they're coming on, you know, different social media things, you know, stuff that wasn't around.
Yeah, the threat yesterday, the police chief said the social media source, but it's been edited out of various news stories, including Channel 3's. Was it Instagram?
It was Snapchat, wasn't it?
I know it's in our story now, and the story I covered was only Wilbercross, which was the phone call. However, on another and another one of these threats, I think they said it was Instagram. But then the other day I was in Meriden, and there was a threat that time was made on Snapchat. So some of these have definitely been, you know, social media videos. I believe they said, unless they updated the information, that the one at Wilbercross started with a phone call to police. But that may have changed. They may have gotten more information because I covered it in the morning, and then there were 7 other threats throughout the day. And, you know, New Haven police, as you can imagine, were kind of at their wits' end. And
they're picking people up. They're bringing them to court.
Yeah.
The court says, go ahead, go back. That person, those people who stole the laundry detergent in Oxford.
Yes.
That one guy had 22 cases open.
Yep.
Allegedly. This is what you're finding. A teenager, you steal a car, they get you. You bring him to court. See you.
Right.
Go ahead.
Have a nice day.
Say, okay. Well, there's no consequences. So why wouldn't you go nuts?
Seriously.
Maybe because you're a good person.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Well, you got to, in the first place.
Sometimes you have to be taught how to be a good person.
Yes.
Like when the babysitter is the problem, you're going to act up. And here, the cop, the babysitter, the teacher, the babysitter is the problem. So you're like, hey, you're the problem.
Yeah, not me.
So anyway. Yep. Roger, you get me while I'm having a fit over here.
I'm a chosen one.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Holidays are coming.
It's the holiday season.
The holiday season.
Holiday season.
We'll see Roger and his wife, Stephanie Simone, who works at another channel. That has to be fun.
Dueling channels.
It is. We like when the ratings come out, you know, I read them aloud. Oh, look what happened today. No.
So, hon, did you see the ratings?
Someone's higher.
You guys are on different shifts, though, so you're fine.
Yeah.
It's funny. I used to always tease her. She used to be on mornings and I was at night. And I would tease her that, hey, I do the real news. You're at the pet fashion show. Well, then she got promoted, and she got bumped to nights, and all of a sudden, now I'm the morning guy. So she rubs it in my face now, but it's a lot of fun.
We'll see you at the toy drive. You bringing your little ones?
I'm bringing them.
Cool.
Great. We're gonna quiz them on what they want from Santa. So
right.
Prep them.
Yes, my daughter has a long list, so we'll see what she shares with you guys.
Very good. All right.
Borrow some money, too.
Roger, Suzanne, and Channel 3. Thank you, brother. Where do you get a flamethrower? I know Tesla sold them for a little bit. It was called Not a Flamethrower.
Oh, wow. That's good. It's not one.
Not a flamethrower.
No. It's a lighter.
So let's call in your nightmare neighbors from hell. Could be past, present.
Right. Or ongoing.
That would be present.
I mean, like right this second, like on the spot right now.
Like, are you talking about me because I'm sitting next to you?
Exactly right. I'm getting my flamethrower
now.
It wouldn't be
coworker neighbor.
Okay.
It'd be house neighbor.
House neighbor, gotcha.
Although?
Be too many stories then.
Where do you think this guy lives, AJ?
I'm going to go to Florida.
Florida. Florida. Florida.
Yeah, somehow I heard flamethrower, I just thought Florida.
Yeah. Guy in Florida got arrested last week for pulling a flamethrower on his neighbors over a dispute about a parking space. 57-year-old Andre Abrams was at his house, Gainesville, Florida, last Tuesday. He and his neighbors had multiple arguments about parking, and he was not having it.
Not going to mess around with you.
It became heated.
So he walked out of his house with a flamethrower and started spraying it in the direction of the car while people were sitting in it.
A little carbecue. Nice.
Carbecue.
Flamethrower is an XM-42 light. Can you look that up, please?
Just sounds lethal, doesn't it? Anytime you have like an XM-42.
Does light stand for, this is the little guy, or does light stand for light him up?
Yes. Yes, it does. It's your interpretation.
It can shoot flames more than 20 feet.
That's awesome.
That's unnecessary.
I need that for weeds.
This thing is insanely
legit. Actually, it's very necessary. It's very necessary.
Yeah, like the barbecue.
When you're a guy, it's very necessary.
We need these things.
You do not.
Yes, I do.
Yes. This is how we hunt and cook food. And
exactly, right. Or just amuse ourselves.
Entertain ourselves.
A stove.
This is why we don't live so long.
This is like a stove that you can carry around with you.
Yeah, see?
This sounded so ridiculous when you were talking about it. I just looked this up. I need this.
No!
Can you buy one? How much are they?
They're $700. It's worth every penny. It's got a face painted on it, like a shark's mouth almost.
Oh, cool.
And then like the nozzle is like its nose.
Really?
It is awesome.
All right. So if we get three of them, can we get in bulk and like get a discount?
You can get a red one or a black one.
Oh, got to get the red one.
I mean, they both look very cool, AJ.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. We need the red one.
What are they powered by?
Let's see. The XM42 is our most popular flamethrower.
Double A's.
Which means they have others.
It hooks up to your A-hole.
It is light, easy to use, and loads of fun. You likely never thought you needed a flamethrower until you shot one.
Hello.
Hi.
I want a flamethrower for Christmas.
No.
Come on.
Yes.
I can't believe she waited that long
to say
no.
What do you want? What do you want? I don't know. Now I know.
She just said, like, in between, I need a no.
Do you want to guess what the uses are that they have listed, their recommended uses for this?
Oh.
Keeping away rhinos.
No, not on here.
Okay.
Drying up.
Killing spiders.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Well, yes, eradicate pests.
Removing in-laws.
Entertain the family. Okay,
cool.
Fine. I'll give it to you.
Right. Entertain, watch them run.
Cooking steak.
No, it says nothing about cooking.
Okay. Well, everything is cooked. Let me see. Marshmallows. No, that says cooking. Yeah.
You can't think of a purpose because it's unnecessary.
Well, we got several.
Making Ashley walk faster.
Number one use, safely light fireworks.
Nice.
Are you kidding?
That's awesome. Right.
Devastate brush piles, melting snow, as AJ mentioned.
That's great.
I devastate.
Create a pyrotechnic show.
Oh, I am ordering one right now.
Seriously.
So I'm looking through the various news stories yesterday, picking out my stories for today, and I try to stay away from the sad ones.
Okay.
And I saw a really sad one yesterday out of West Haven. Fire crews were called to College Street and arrived to find a heavy fire and the building's roof collapse. Turns out one person died. So I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this story. It's a bummer. So now fast forward a couple hours later, John McCarthy Rockhouse, who his school will be performing and killing it at the stage, on the stage Friday, I get him on to talk about some details, and he's personally connected to that fire.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
John.
Yes, how you doing, guys?
Good, man. Sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
Sorry, brother.
Thank you so much. It was a rough day.
What happened?
Well, my Uncle Fred, he lives next to our music school in West Haven, and we got a call in the middle of the night, it's like 4 o'clock, probably when you guys get up or at work, from a neighbor saying that my uncle's house was engulfed in flames. We ran over there, and it was just blazing. I mean, it's the building right next to our school, so we ran into the school and see what was going on in there, and we were afraid that our school was going to burn, We felt the walls on that side, and they were hot even, so we started taking our guitars on the walls. We started grabbing the guitars off and our computers out of there, and come to find out that, he perished in the fire. But here's a quick story, but there was his wife died about 12 years ago, and he had a dog that was his best friend, a little pit bull, and the dog was outside running around. Now, the dog never was outside, always was inside or on a chain. Come to find out that when they found him perished in there, that he was at the door, and he must have let the dog out, before he was succumbed by the flames.
His last act was to save his dog.
Heroic, yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yep. That was his best friend, you know.
How old was he? What's his name?
Frederick Hart. He was 88. He was a tough old guy. You know, he made it through the pandemic. And I was kidding around like, oh, you made it through the pandemic. He's going to live to be 110 now, you know?
Yeah.
Man, so tragic. And then, so this all happens. You lose your uncle. The place burns down right next to the school. And then what do you do after that?
Well, you know, they say music cures the soul. You know, we had a scheduled rehearsal for the teachers and students performing for the toy show this weekend. We went through with it. And I tell you, it made me feel much better just, you know, having the music and seeing the kids and the people playing music and having fun. It's true. Music cures the soul, and it's good for you.
Man, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to bring you guys down at such a happy time of year and everything like that.
And I have to tell you that Jonathan didn't volunteer to come on and talk about it, but I'm talking to him last night. I'm hearing the story. I'm like, oh, my God, you got to come on and talk about it. I'm sorry to ask you to do that, and thank you for sharing that story. I just think your Uncle Fred was a great man, and you know, that saving his dog as his last act to me just stuck out as says everything you want to know about this guy, you know?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, you're right. The character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we're very proud to have your excellent music school.
Thank you so much for having us.
Part of our toy drive every year. AJ, you know how much work this guy does?
Lots.
It's not just like, hey, we're going to go down.
No.
He gets all the kids together.
A lot
together,
of behind the scenes.
They practice a bunch of songs.
There's the instruments and everything else.
Two or three songs on.
Yep.
By them, and they bring all the sound. They're providing the backline and sound for John Cafferty. It's a whole deal.
Yeah.
Not only that, I just want to say John is so nice. Anytime we ask him for help, he always does whatever he can to go out of his way to help us.
Immediately.
He found us Living Color the last time we did a live show. We were in a jam.
That was amazing.
And he connected us with Living Color. So he's been
amazing.
A great part of it. There's so many people that
like the fifth Beatle.
Make this thing happen. And Jonathan is one of the main people behind the scenes that pulls everything together, whether it be musicians, instruments, sound.
All in. Yep.
And, you know, he's always nice because, think about this, he always deals with children. He's used to dealing with kids.
So with us, too.
So we might be a little bit more challenging.
I want Living Color! I want instruments! I want a backline!
Nothing different. Actually, the kids are more mature. But yeah.
I got to tell you, the parents that bring their kids to your place, they really know that they got the best place for their kids to learn music.
Thank you so much. It's a tribute to our instructors, too. We have the most amazing musicians in the state working at our school, and it's a special person that wants to be a teacher. They're not doing it to make a lot of money and get rich. They're doing it because they love the act of helping somebody create an art form for themselves, and it's a special person that the teacher, and we're so proud of all our instructors at the school.
I got to tell you, thanks to John, we got within an inch of having Rob Thomas. His wife has some health issues, and he's, you know, hesitant, rightfully so, of COVID. If it weren't for that, I believe we would have had him, thanks to John.
He'd be so there. Well, yep.
Yeah. Next year we'll do it.
Yeah. You know what? I was going to say, we'll put Rob in a bubble. A giant, like, hamster ball.
Nice. Very nice.
Throw him in.
That'd be smooth.
Throw him in there. Dang. Yeah.
Yeah. So, little song reference.
I got what
there.
You said there.
Thank
smooth.
You.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
point out.
So the kids are all ready for the big day.
They're ready to rock. We started practicing in middle of October, so they're all excited. They're pumped, and we're gonna have a great time. Hope everyone can make it down. It's such a great thing you guys do every year, and you know, I'm so proud of you guys for everything you do.
I got to tell you, when you see kids on stage. And they know what they're doing. They're helping kids.
Right, unlike us.
Yeah, unlike us.
AJ, where are you going? I don't know!
No, but those kids and those parents, they know what this is about. And to see kids helping kids, it's heartwarming.
It is.
It's really cool.
It's a great moment.
What's a good age to get kids involved in music? Like, to sign them up for a music school?
At birth.
Well, for my kids, it was at birth. Because I told them they either had to, you know, play music or be involved in the arts, or they had to go to an orphanage. No, I'm just kidding.
Some stern words from dad. Kids, that's like, I'm like 4 hours old. Okay.
Yeah.
No, but we have a program called Little Rockers. We actually start kids at 3 and a half, and they start learning about rhythm and timing and things, you know, with percussion instruments and clapping and tapping patterns. And, you know, once a child learns that foundation of music at that young age, any instrument they try to play after that, it just comes naturally to them. So we're we tried to start them as young as possible. As long as we didn't have to change the diapers, we're all set.
Yeah, when you hear the kid go, do-do-do-do-da-da-da-da.
Hey,
that's all I want to say to you.
Sting made a lot of money off that line.
Exactly right. Like, he got it from John. John's kids.
Okay, so that'd be a great gift to give.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Music classes. You know what might be a fun bit during the year, John?
Uh-oh.
See, like, this is going to be a challenge, and I probably shouldn't say this on the air, because you're going to be like, oh, why'd you do that to me on the air? But have someone at your school try to teach Ashley how to sing.
Oh, whew. Thank God that was me.
Well, that would be a big challenge, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Impossible, John. Yeah. Impossible. Yeah.
Which kid has the best temperament?
Not impossible. You know, I think anybody could sing at one at some capacity. So
okay, hold on one
at
second.
At some
hold
capacity.
On. Phil, pull up All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Oh, wait. Oh, I need boy. Wait, your plug.
Yeah, hold on one second, Jonathan. Hey, John, we're going to get
I got to put paper in my ears. Hang on.
He's got it.
I want to lose a filling again like last time.
It's little plugs.
Any advice you want to give Ashley before she attempts this?
Yeah, don't do it.
Air is what makes you sing. So it's like the fuel for your voice. You take air in.
Don't want a lot for Christmas.
Her head's full of air.
There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents. AJ, put your headphones back on. Underneath the Christmas tree.
I don't want to.
I just want you for my own. More than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you.
Oh my God, a bird outside just exploded. Did you see it? That squirrel ran the traffic. You know, flat tire?
John, what do you think?
Well,
I'm a tough case, John.
Wow, today,
I just want to see.
I know that there's definitely techniques. This is definitely clay that has to be molded, but there is something there. I mean, it's a lot about supporting your notes. You got to get. It seems like she's going off from her head and her throat when she's singing. And you got to get it from your chest to make it sound full notes.
So yeah. Close her throat on her?
From your diaphragm.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think of you know what I would give her A+ on, John, is that her effort. Like, she really wants to do it, and she really tries.
Yeah, she had farted twice in here.
Did not stop it.
That was the bottom you heard.
Well, look at that. He was able to find some positive in that singing. Yeah. So that's pretty good. That's
Moldable clay. Mold me.
Moldable clay.
It's so silly putty.
Hey, we have some amazing instructors at the vocal instructors at the school that do, you know, at different exercises you work with every day. And she could sing. She'll be able to sing.
You see how fast he changed his.
Right.
He heard himself say, she could sing. And then he changed it.
Yes.
She'll be able to sing.
He's a true pro. Right.
It's a process.
Right. It's a process.
It is.
All right. Well, that'll be a challenge for the new year. And we'll see you Friday. Thank you so much.
Got it.
The kids, the parents, there's a whole army of effort going on over there at Rock House School of Music in West Haven just to get a couple of songs and get the bands on for our toy drive. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Who do you tip and how much do they get?
Oh, whew. Those intervention.
We do it every year, and we kind of go around the room, and folks call in. And this is a good time, like if you're a landscaper or something, you say, yeah, we should be tipped.
Yeah.
This is time to put your name in the hat here.
Exactly.
All right. AJ, who would you tip?
Oh, definitely your mailman.
Or mail carrier?
Mail carrier, yes. Your postal person.
All right. Mail carrier is on this list at number 5.
Yay!
27% will tip.
Will tip. Okay.
So 27% of people will tip the mail carrier. That seems low.
That's very low. I mean, they bring you packages, you know, the rain, the sleet, the snow.
We know what they do.
Yeah. Trying to help them out, yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Yep.
Oh, you know, here could be the other thing.
What's that?
You could call in and make your argument for why you should get tipped. Like I have to deal to deal with your dog. I have to walk up 8 flights of stairs. Right. I have to.
You don't shovel your driveway.
Right. You don't shovel your driveway.
Your walkway.
Yeah.
My socks got wet. God damn you.
All these Amazon packages. Blah, 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 blah.
Right. I wear the uniform.
Is that an argument?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Looks official.
I don't know what you just said there, but the
looks official.
Typically is $20 for a mail carrier.
Okay.
I do a little bit more than that because if my stuff doesn't fit my mailbox,
he'll make it fit.
Get in, smash.
Okay, I got this Corningware set to fit.
Oh, look, our wine glasses came.
Right. I think it's from IKEA. It needs assembling.
They used to be wine glasses.
I live on a private street, and so the mailboxes are out in front.
Right.
So he drives all the way down my street and brings it up to my door.
It's like a big thermometer.
Yeah.
Your street. It goes straight down that big bulb.
It's called a cul-de-sac.
Exactly. Like thermometer. I don't want to say cold sack at all.
You know, you make the simplest things interesting.
Thank you. This one over here is going to, I'm going to put her desk in the hall.
Okay.
Yeah. The same.
All right. Who else should be tipped? 1-877-764-2535.
Are you allowed to tip teachers? I feel like this year. They've earned them.
Get them a gift.
They are number 3 on the list.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you want to call in and tell us, well, you're probably busy right now.
Right. You're fending off kids with a chair.
Like a lion tamer.
Get back there, you bastard. Get back in the cage.
Yeah, you're probably hiding under a desk somewhere.
Wait, I'm under fire. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you get a teacher?
Not an apple.
Booze.
Oh, yeah, that does. Yeah. No one wants
you
that.
Need booze and $50. Bottle of Jackson of 50. There you go. Pack of smokes.
Do you give them money?
Sure.
I mean, why not? They use their own money to buy school supplies.
Right.
Oh, so that could help.
That's great.
Well, like, you know, if it's a female teacher and like a nice calming spa day, that's a cool thing. She can like relax and forget about your kid.
Or he.
Or he. He may enjoy them. Yeah, I wouldn't mind a day of beauty. I come out right? No, it didn't. No. I'm going to be over here.
Your mindset on scramble.
I'm over here. I'm going to step on the microphone now.
All right, good. Step away from the mic.
No, you guys would miss me too much.
We would.
I came back.
All right, so teacher, 41% of parents will give an average of $25, usually in the form of a small gift instead of cash.
Yeah.
What about a gift card? That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Pot's bad, right? Can't do that? No.
No.
Okay, just checking. It's legal now. So, yeah. Fire this up. You need it.
Who else should be on this list of people who get tipped? Frank in Fairfield?
Any of your local or contractors you're using at your home or business, especially.
Hello?
Not per se. I'm an owner of a business.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying I need to be tipped.
Good.
But all the guys, the workers, anybody that's coming into these people's homes nowadays should be tipped something. And they don't get anything. Nothing.
Nothing. Oh, could you tell us what business you're in?
I own an electrical business.
Oh, okay.
But I see it across the board, plumbers, HVAC guys, your local, telecom communications, you know, Xfinity or whoever.
Cable guy.
Those guys.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Really?
You get overlooked really, really bad, especially during these past, you know, everybody works from home now. So everybody wants more stuff done at their home, and they want it now. And then they get it and expect everything in the world, and then these guys are just, you don't even get a glass of water and an offer of a bathroom. So,
okay, I have a story.
Uh-oh.
Somebody, I can't. All right, I'm not going to reveal who it was.
Okay, good.
But it's someone I know very well. And they had some folks over putting on solar panels on the roof.
Okay, it's not me then. Good.
Okay.
Didn't Phil have solar panels?
No, it's not Phil.
Okay.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
And she gave them permission to use the bathroom. Now, they're working outside, which is great, you know, to get permission to come in anytime you want to use the bathroom.
Right. Have a tinkle.
or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
So somebody comes in, tracks mud in.
Oops.
Goes and leaves an A-bomb.
Oh.
In the bathroom.
Someone had the breakfast burrito,
that rotted out the house.
Right.
Like, washed their hands, put water all over the floor.
Wow.
Like, just a mess. So there's that.
Right.
And she locked the door. She was like, you're done.
But you had to.
Bathroom privileges have been revoked.
Blew the bathroom up. Yeah. He's pooping the roof.
Well, when you see guys sitting in the backyard popping a squat, you know why.
Gotcha. Right.
Yeah, that's the other part. If you don't let them in the house.
Yeah, don't walk barefoot behind the bushes.
It would be rude to say, like, hey, would you mind coming in here and, like, cleaning this mess up?
Yeah.
Right?
No, you don't have to be an animal.
Yeah.
You just use the bathroom like a regular human being.
Mutual respect.
Yeah. Ugh.
You know, somebody's going to let you walk in the house. You put booties on.
Yes.
You know, especially if you're working outside. I mean, most of the time, especially in that situation, we are inside. So if we're inside or whatever, you know, it's like a name of the game. You never use the master bathroom. Even if you get a bathroom, you don't even use the master.
Right.
Use the powder room. Use anything that you could possibly use.
The powder room is the half bath.
We're going off.
Yeah.
Half,
have you ever pooped in a customer's bathroom?
Chad, I really don't want to tell you the places I pooped. I pooped in a box in the back of my truck last week.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Brother.
Where's that box now?
It's in
someone's porch.
Oh, okay.
Someone's porch.
Give it as a tip to someone you don't like.
Amazon dropped off a package.
Wait, so you were trapped, like stuck somewhere. No one would let you use a bathroom, and you had to go.
Yep.
It happens.
That's it.
Gotta go, go.
It's all the time. My guy pooped in a bucket on a job the other day.
Right.
Because there was no water. Nobody put a porta potty on the job.
Oh,
so
boy.
What do you do? I mean, now, guys, we're going off a little off point, but, you know, if you want to tip your guys, these are the guys to tip, especially if you I had a client the other day. She's a wonderful woman. She puts an entire, you know, snacks and goodies out on
That's
the front
great.
Porch for Amazon guys.
Wow.
Waters, you know, juice boxes. That's the thing to do, especially with some of these guys working nonstop. They got families.
Oh, they're working hard now.
Yeah. Well,
they're working hard. All right, great point.
Appreciate
thank
your guys' time, guys. You guys are the best. Listen
Frank,
to you every
thank
day.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for what you do, man. Appreciate
thank you.
It. Jeff Pitzel is he's a very old friend of mine and dear, dear friend of mine. And we go way back. And he'll be performing at the Toy Drive Friday in the 7 o'clock hour.
Cool.
And he's on the phone now. Good morning, brother.
Morning, brother. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for doing this, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to hear you guys. I think I found out who has the best job in the world. It's you guys having fun on the radio in the morning. I tell you, I wish I did what you guys do.
you know, we're one mistake away from an opening.
Right. So, try flubbing a lot. That part's fun.
You know, I'm talking to Jeff. He's so modest, and you almost have to pull it out of him. But in the course of the conversation, I hear that he was on stage with the Allman Brothers.
Really?
And he ended up on a recording. How does that happen?
Well, you know, I a lot of things have happened to me over the years that surprised me too. I did get an invitation to bring my favorite guitar to the Beacon Theater in New York to play with the Allman Brothers, and they record those nights at the Beacon, and they sell the CDs that night of the show, and you can also purchase them in the archives. So it was back in 2014, I think March 21, I was invited to play with them at the Beacon, and I think it was Clapton the night before and Santana the night before that, so pretty crazy to be a guest of theirs.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Right, that's the list that they put together. Like, who do we? They can get anyone they want, and you were on the list. Not that I'm surprised by that, but
it shows the caliber.
Man, I know this guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's so cool.
Where you're at.
Here's a recording from that night.
Stop, stop, stop.
and they sound great.
Yeah.
You know, that you don't always get the Allman Brothers sounding great because no. Greg was in and out of partying and.
Yeah.
Boy, this is. Wow.
That's where they captured it. He sounds good. Put on.
Jeff, this is a pinch yourself moment, no?
It was definitely surreal, Chaz. I tell you, I think that was one of the high points of my life for sure.
Wow. So you're on stage, yeah. You're playing guitar, and then you're looking at, was Dickie on stage, or he was already gone?
He was gone, yeah.
Okay.
It was 2014.
Derek, okay, yeah. So Derek Trucks, there's Greg.
Warren Haynes. Warren Haynes,
cool.
Yeah.
Man, it's mind-blowing.
Exactly. It's like, am I really here right now?
Yeah. It's mind-blowing.
It is.
Yeah. Did you, like, poop yourself?
Well...
I was a little bit nervous for sure because I wasn't sure what they were going to throw at me. But in the dressing room, they have a list of the songs they're going to play, and then they have who the guests are, and it's sort of like on this like formal stationery. And when I saw my name there, I was like, "Wow, this is like really going to happen."
It's real, so, yeah.
Yeah, it was real, yeah. And then it's just I talked to Greg afterwards. He was eating spanakopita, Greek dish.
Wow.
And I told him my mom. Yeah, I told my mom makes spanakopita stuff, so it's pretty cool.
So you guys bonded on that?
Yeah, a lot of things. He was telling me about his career, how he was making $1.60 a week when he worked with Floyd Miles. And, you know, it was just a very surreal moment just talking to him about his career and everything he had been through, how he wanted to quit music many times. And it just the way they took me in as family that night, I'll never forget it.
Wow. Did you ask him before you left, like, can I stay and just be in the band?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Do I have to go?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't want to go.
You need a guy like me.
Can I just, like, be a guitar tech and then fill in once
something,
in a while?
Yeah, we'll help you.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you say stuff like that because I was making an album with Jay Giles in Nashville, and Robert Plant and Alison Krauss were in the same studio in Studio A, and we were sharing, like, the same kitchen with them. Wow. And I almost said to Robert Plant, do you hear yourself singing on this track? Can you come in and maybe sing a little bit?
Yeah.
You know? But I didn't say that to him, you know?
Did you have any small talk with him? Like, hey, how you doing? Love your music. Thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan.
Yeah, he's a... Yeah, absolutely. He was very, very down-to-earth guy, absolutely. And he's known for that, too. He's not pretentious at all.
No, he's a cool guy.
Yeah. No, totally. So who are some of the other names you've worked with? Johnny Lee Hooker, Muddy Waters.
Wow.
Etta James, Robert Cray, Delbert McClinton, Rick Derringer.
Yes, I just put out a CD recently of called Duets with... Jay Giles, Dave Mason from Traffic, Rick Derringer is on that album, James Cotton, Dickie Butt, the Betts' son, Dwayne Betts is on there, Charles Neville of the Neville Brothers, and Clarence Clemons from Bruce Springsteen. So all these celebrities that I got a chance to record with over the years, I put on one CD called Duets, and it was just... You know, we were supposed to put it out at the Infinity Hall in Hartford, and then COVID hit, so they postponed the show like three times. And we just recently played there a couple weeks ago and did the official release party of that CD. But certainly Charles Neville and Clarence Clemons were great people, quality people that helped me a lot in my career. And, of course, and Jay Giles, you know who Jay is.
Oh, so. Of course.
Yep.
So those people
how did you hook up with Clarence Clemons, and what was his participation, and did he share any stories of being on the road with Bruce?
Yes, I became good friends with Clarence because his guitar player could not make a show in Boston at Copley Square, an outdoor show. So his road manager, Jay, called me the night before and said, it was like a Tuesday night, can you get to Boston? You're going to meet Clarence at the Hyatt. He's going to give you a cassette of all the songs that you'll be playing tomorrow afternoon.
Can you believe this?
I said, I'm, I said, I'm on my way. So I go up there to the Hyatt, and he closes the bar. He pays to have the bar closed, and the band's just drinking this, you know, Knob Creek, getting pretty hammered.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, at like 3 in the morning, he says, here's the cassette. Know these songs by noon.
Sure. What's a cassette?
I thought he was kidding. I couldn't even see. I was seeing double at that point.
Oh, boy.
But I went in the room, and I charted and wrote out the songs. We played in Copley Square in Boston. Then we played the Hard Rock the same day. And then they bumped out the band at the House of Blues in Cambridge. And we went and played that show together. And after that run I did with him, he said, let's make a record together.
Wow.
And then we became friends. And we recorded together. He opened a lot of doors for me. He was one of those musicians like the Allman Brothers that were helping bands and helping younger musicians get breaks, which you don't see very often, that character in people. So
Jeff Pitchell, longtime friend of the show, Connecticut Hall of Famer, on the Water Doctor interview hotline right now, talking about the upcoming performance at the Toy Drive. He'll be in the 7 o'clock hour. Have you worked with John Cafferty before?
I have. At the God Stadium, the Mohegans, when they first opened, the Mohegans did an outdoor show at the God Stadium. I think that's in New London or something. It's a ball field. And it was a big outdoor show. We went on before John. And he came in the dress room and said to me, you know, I got lucky with that movie. And I said, well, that's a great thing. I'm really happy for you. And he had a half pint of whiskey on him.
And this half pint.
And he said, take a couple of nips off of this. It'll help you relax. I'll never forget it.
He's so great.
I'm looking forward to seeing him. He's a very, very humble, nice guy.
He really is humble. Cool.
Yeah, he is.
You played with Phil Lesh of the Grateful Dead?
I did, yes. When I was touring with Jay Giles out in California, we played Phil's club, Terrapin Crossroads, and then he ended up coming and doing like 6 shows with us. And I'll tell you the reason why is Jay Giles was a MIT engineer graduate. And he was very methodical about music, and he was telling Phil that he wasn't very impressed by the Grateful Dead. And I think Phil took that as a challenge to show him that Phil could do more than the Grateful Dead music. It was very to watch them have an exchange. But then that gave me a chance to play some Dead tunes with Phil.
Cool.
And so, you know, it was a crazy run out in California.
It's another mind-blowing experience. You know, if you think that the DNA that you've cross-pollinated with all of these songs, it's probably every great song ever recorded. Somehow you've come in contact with someone involved in one of those songs. So you played with B.B. King?
Yes, I did. I opened for BB 11 times.
Wow.
And on the 11th night, he invited me on stage to play with him. And I have to say, he was the most sincerest, kindest celebrity I worked with. He invited us up to his suite afterwards, the whole band, and talked about music and life and everything for a couple hours, which he really didn't have to do that. And BB was... a lot of my friends, Chad, say I should write a book. I just don't have the patience. But I do have some really crazy stories, too. I mean, with all these people, especially with Jay Giles, because I did 5 years with him, and the bizarre stuff that happened on the road with him should be documented.
You should start taking some notes and let someone else write it, and you can just talk it out. What about Nugent? Was he nuts on the road? He's like no booze, no alcohol. People think he's the Motor City Madman, and he is crazy on stage, but he's not a boozer.
That's natural.
And he doesn't do drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt that he was very difficult to get to know. He's one of those alpha males that's really not that nice to other guitar players until you get to know him. He said to me after we opened a bunch of shows of his, he said to me, "Did you witness history tonight?" Meaning, did you watch me play?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yes, I did.
Yeah. So he was letting me know where I sat in the pecking order of what occurred that evening. But then once we began, you know, hanging out and talking, he was a regular guy and he was respectful. But I think I was surprised to see that his rhythm guitar player sang a lot of the songs.
Right. Derek St. Holmes, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We had him at a toy
drive. Guy.
What
great voice.
Great guy.
Great voice. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, Jeff Pitchell is performing at the Toy Drive, and he's on the Water Doctor Hotline right now. What is this deal with James Woods, the movie American Girl? Was the album produced by David Z, who also produced Prince and Etta James?
Yes, that's right. David Z produced Johnny Lang, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Prince. The Fine Young Cannibals. And when I landed that record deal and went to Nashville, I was approached by James Woods, the movie star, to do the music for his upcoming movie, American Girl, which it was going to be his directorial debut. And Jennifer Lawrence was to play his daughter. And I couldn't believe it. He flew me out to California. He gave me the script. I wrote all the songs with Jeff Silbar, who wrote Wind Beneath My Wings, for Bette Midler, who lived in Studio City, California, in this big mansion because of all the hits he had written. And we wrote and recorded that album for James Woods' movie, American Girl. And James That's Woods wild. And Jennifer Lawrence had a dispute of a, how do you say, kind of a sexual nature.
Oh.
So that dispute over some stuff that happened stopped the film, but I still put out the album.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
I could talk to you all day about this. Very excited that you're playing the Toy Drive, and then I heard you're donating an autographed guitar.
Cool.
That we could bid out.
Happy to do it, and really grateful to see you guys again and to play music and bring some enthusiasm to the table. And it's always a pleasure to see you. Last time was with Bouchard and Dennis Hathaway from Alice Cooper. That was a while ago.
Yeah, well, when I did the night show from 90 to 94, Jeff was a regular guest on the show.
Cool.
And when I left to go to Texas, Jeff played the very last song of the night show. Do you remember what that was?
It was a long time ago. Was it Texas Flood? Or was it?
Yeah, no, it was Stevie Ray Vaughan's Life by the Drop. It was just you on acoustic.
Right. Wow. Now I remember.
Yeah. Anyway, how much do you think that guitar is valued? Then I got to go and do a song here.
Oh, the one that we're donating?
Yes, with your signature on it.
I'd say it's worth a couple hundred grand.
Cool.
Hmm. Okay, I'm out.
I'm only kidding. Geez, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's for a charitable cause. So anybody that, you know, wants to enter the raffle, or how do you work it over there?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
They're doing a noble cause. You know, everybody's there donating their time, energy. And so I urge people who are listening to you to get in the giving spirit. That's the idea. So.
All right, I'll start with bidding 1,000.
Oh, here you go. That's his heart rate right now.
So I would love to have a Jeff Pitchell guitar hanging up in my house.
Right.
And if you want to beat me, you can beat me.
Exactly.
Please, I don't want to be a hog here.
The gauntlet's being thrown.
I hope someone beats me and they can have this guitar.
Exactly. The treasure.
All right, Jeff. Thanks again, brother.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut. Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.